You will only pay for your textbooks. Your tuition is free. Do you want to know the Bible better? Are you a Sunday school teacher, deacon, or a Christian seeking to know God's Word? Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for more information. CTU, training ministry workers since 1982. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you joined us today on Let's Face the Issues. We're talking about an issue that I believe has multiple prongs to it and can be applied. We're talking about an issue today that I believe is valid and we should stand for. Allow the Christian voice in America to be heard. There's a move to shut out the voice, shut down the voice, prevent morals and ethics and values from being discussed. And in this case, to try to prevent or to in some way disavow the President of the United States of being able to read 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 11 through 22. The focus that was made by a naysayer on the Communist Network News this morning was that he ought not to be reading that verse because that verse has nothing to do with what he needs to be doing as president. And secondly, stating that somehow, some way, it might offend the Muslim, or it might offend the Hindu, or it might offend the atheist, or it might offend those that are not believers at all. Said, after all, when that was read in the Old Testament, there was the religion of Judaism, and today it's not just Christianity and Judaism, but we have multitudes of religions, and therefore we cannot say anything that might offend any one of them. What do you think? You think that's the way it should be? You think that the Christian voice should be shut out? You think that the Christian Bible ought not to be read? You think that somehow, some way, we need to bow and bend to the Islamics, the Islamic jihadists, and the voice of the Muslims that want to shut out the voice of the Christian? You think that somehow, some way, because there are multitudes of religious voices, most are atheist, heathenism, and et cetera, et cetera. You think that Christians should be silent and be subservient to that? You think somehow, some way, ladies and gentlemen, that the president ought not to read from the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God? I believe Woody's on the line. Woody, go over the question or comment, please.
Okay, Pastor, buckle your seatbelt. I want to reply to your question. You're the theologian. You're the expert, but I'm going to make some very definite statements here, and then you can pick them apart, but I know you won't. Let me say this first of all. You and I agree that America had a purpose, and that purpose was probably fulfilled in on May the 14th of 1948, when Israel was established for a nation, a continuing purpose for a period of time afterward as a protector of the young nation of Israel until she could be established. You also are aware that Ecclesiastes chapter 1 says what's been before will be again. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. Mind of man just can't remember it. I'd like to point out that in 1930, between 30 and 33, the cultural Marxist Satan, really, took over America under the auspices of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, mm-hmm. a Democrat who replaced a not terribly successful President Hoover, Republican, but certainly much better in his moral philosophy than Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was as evil as Bill Clinton. And then one generation, our government's turnover, our nation's turnover, a generation about every 30 years. The life generation is 70 or 80 years. But in terms of a nation, the younger people replace the older people about every 30 to 35 years. I'll point out that after the 30s, a Democrat replaced a Republican Eisenhower. That name was Kennedy. Kennedy was eliminated by, it was eliminated by the same federal program that's attacking our president right now.
That's right.
We'll talk about that some other time. But it's existent, and it was brought in by J. Edgar Hoover in the Times. So in the 60s, we had John F. Kennedy come on board, and he was elected for a particular reason. Then another generation later, we came to the 1990s, and another Democrat replaced a Republican. And I have in my hand right here a tape. I was at the Christian Coalition Conference in 1991. I heard Gary Bauer speak, and he spoke on the importance of the 1992 elections to family values. At the same time, Pat Robertson essentially bet the credibility of his Christian Broadcasting Network by guaranteeing the re-election of one George H. Bush, who I had some familiarity with around for a while in the late 80s. We saw, however, in the 90s, the repetition of the 60s, of the repetition of the 30s. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was evil. John F. Kennedy wasn't all that evil, but he was taken out and was replaced by the dirtiest dog that we had as a president. That was Lyndon Baines Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
He was a monster, and he died of a massive heart attack on the day that Roe v. Wade went into effect, because he was the one behind it. I think that was God's action.
Mm-hmm.
But then Peter Drucker wrote a book in late 1980s called The New Realities. And he said that America, in the beginning 90s, had gone through a cycle in which she would never return again. I interpret that as basically the judgment of God on America actually began in the 90s. And when you consider that Gary Bauer, a very, very important man, said in 1992 that this election in 92 was really important, and Pat Robertson bet his credibility on the statement that George Bush would be reelected.
Your sound is fading out. I don't know why.
Oh. Okay, can you hear me now?
That's it. Yeah, better. Yes.
Right. Okay, I apologize. We had the scandalous devil himself in Bill Clinton, followed by, later on, by the devil himself, Barack Obama, followed by the feckless Biden. We did, in fact, go through a pass. And to me, and here's the point I want to make, and I'm sorry about rambling like this.
That's right.
What we entered in 1990, when Peter Drucker said we're in the new realities, was nothing more than Isaiah chapter 3, verse 1 through Isaiah 4:1. Look that up later, the people that are listening. But here's what that says, because it fits right in with Ecclesiastes 1:9-11. Things are cyclical. What happens when a nation comes under God's judgment aligns exactly with the question you ask. Must our voices be heard? And before I continue, I want to say, yes, Christian voices must be heard, and they must be male voices.
Yes.
We have come in the time of the feminizing of culture that Isaiah chapter 3 talks about. There are four things that happen when a nation is under God, according to Isaiah chapter 3. I'm almost done. Bear with me.
All right.
The first is you have evil, feckless children that direct your culture. You become a youth-oriented culture that's filled with really bad kids. And that happens because you have recessive men who don't take responsibility for leadership in the culture. As a result, women step in and take the leadership position, and because you have predominantly female either thinking or actual gender leadership, can we say the governor of Virginia right now, when you have that, it leads to total governmental dysfunction. The four things that are talked about openly in Isaiah chapter 3, discussed mm-hmm. it on air with Michael Savage about 10 years ago, and he was talking about the importance of Isaiah 3:12. Children are your oppressors. Women rule over you. Oh, my people, your leaders lead you astray. But here's what I want to say. This is Isaiah 4:1. This is the conclusion of all this stuff that the governor of Virginia wants to do, and that the laughing idiot that ran for president for the Democrats the last time, and others, beginning with Hillary Clinton back in 1992, or when they were sworn in 93, are doing. Isaiah 4:1 simply says this: on that day, after all this stuff has happened, the feminizing of culture, seven women shall take hold of one man and say, we'll provide all our needs, just give us your name and take away our reproach. We need to be under the name of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. We need to put away our tendency to be like women, stand up to be Christian men, and push back with all legal force against this demonic government that has established itself, that we are responsible for, because we stopped being men as we went through those progressive cycles. It began with Franklin Delano Roosevelt, because the real president was not Franklin, provable by his biography. It was Eleanor, and she was filthy. Mm-hmm. I'm not such a critic of Kennedy, though I can criticize him for a lot, for his womanizing, but the most evil man in our government was Lyndon Baines Johnson. I'll support that to my dying day, and people don't probably understand how evil and wicked that foul man was.
Absolutely.
Now,
Marshall, there's a question that, so for the sake of time, let me ask you, tying into what you just said. Let me just read you a statement. President Donald Trump has long said that 2020 election was rigged, tasking Patel, FBI director, with finding any perpetrators of this alleged illegal fraud. Over a year after Patel took office, the FBI director says that arrests are coming. Headline says, Cash Patel, FBI director, says 2020 election fraud addressed are coming. 14 months after he's in office, has announced that the Bureau will be making arrests related to the 2020 presidential election. And he goes on to simply say, yes, the election was stolen in 2020. And I could go into great details that I have before me in relationship to that. What say you in relationship to what happened in 2020? When the world recognized, especially American conservatives, Christians, and patriots recognized that 81 million people did not vote for Sleepy Joe Biden, and yet it was stolen. We've been told now for all of these years that it's a conspiracy theory. In fact, the socialist, Marxist, communist media will tell you that, 73 cases were filed in court, and none of them found the truth of what is being claimed by the conspiracy theorists. None of the cases were tried in court, not one. Got beyond the courthouse door because the judges would not allow it. So what are your thoughts in relationship to finally coming to the conclusion through the FBI director that they've concluded based on evidence in Georgia, Arizona, et cetera, Pennsylvania, they've come to the conclusion that the election was stolen. What say you?
In January 6th of 2021, I was in Washington, D.C. Remember that day?
Mm-hmm.
What happened on January the 6th? Now, I wasn't in the Capitol building, but I watched what took place. I will assure you, I was there, because that election was stolen. It was stolen. And I have, because of what I did in the Air Force and people I've had contact with since then, I will, to my grave, go believing it was stolen. But God allowed that to happen as a symbol of judgment on this country.
Right.
And President Trump is, God bless him, I hope he delivers us. He's doing great. But, I don't believe that this is going to be able to continue, because we're under God's judgment. I pray that I'm wrong. But let's see what happens in November, when the Democrats should be swept away, absolutely. swept away. This man has done more for this country in his a couple years in his second term than any other president has done in our history, bar none. He should be reelected just by common sense. I don't think it's going to happen.
Absolutely. One of the things that I've said, and you've heard me say, I believe if you have said so eloquently, I believe we're under the progressive judgment of God in America because we've turned our backs on God. As a result of that, I don't see there being a finality, a major vindication, and major truth prevailing in the future. But I do say, as you have said, that it's my opinion that God divinely intervened, putting President Donald J. Trump back in as the 47th president so that there could be a reprieve or at least a retarding of God's judgment on the nation. And that then, with the exit question that I'll ask you, with President Trump reading the scripture from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, which will touch on verse 14, if my people, which you call by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. I think it is wonderful, and the choice of the text for him to read is fantastic. What say you?
I say praise God for it. Understand there's a message in it. We better not miss it. The only way this country can be turned around is if Christian men stand up and push back within the limits of the law as fiercely as they can, if they lead their families, if they'll get their noses in the Word of God and read it. Amen. And understand there's something right there in Revelation 17:10 staring us in the face about America that we're in Bible prophecy, whether people know it or not, and it's right there in Revelation 17:10 because we are the seventh kingdom and the eighth is of Satan. That we're pretty close to the tribulation, the rapture of the church, all those things. And God is putting things, circumstances before us to make a statement. And he made a big statement in 2016 with the election of Donald Trump. That wasn't supposed to happen. And in 2020 when the Democrats stole it and the evil of the Democrats was fully revealed in the last 4 years. These are Satan's people. If you carry the label of Democrat and try to carry the label of Christian, you're barking up the wrong tree. You're going to have a pretty warm future.
Impossible. Absolutely. I just simply say preach on. Thank you so much for your call, Marshall. God bless you.
Have a wonderful day. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I believe Lily's on the line. Lily, go with your question or comment, please.
Thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. God bless you for dealing with this topic today. And thank God, we have a president who is not too proud and arrogant to take up the word of God and to give glory to God and his word. Thank God, we need it desperately at this time. As I look at what is going on in our culture, America is tottering. We are on the verge of collapsing, losing our freedom, losing our culture, this country. And we are, but for the mercy of God in intervening. If God didn't intervene in a big way to raise up Donald Trump at this time, we would have been gone under. And we are on the verge, but for the mercy of God. And I believe, I verily have no problem in believing that America reach where it's reached in confusion and debauchery and this reach where we reach because of the clergy, the men of God, the belief, the church, the so-called church. The people who should be standing up for the word of God, standing up for righteousness, the people who have abandoned their commitment to God. I think if the church was faithful, well, we have to say so-called church because we know the gates of hell shall not prevail. So thank God for the faithful men of God and for the faithful believers who are praying at this time because the deliverance the passage that is given to our president to read is, I agree with you, very appropriate. And what it will take at this time to rescue America from where we're going is if the church, the people of God, so will turn back to God. If America will turn back to God and repent, just as all that passage there, we'll turn from our wicked will, we'll seek God, pray, and have God to intervene. That's the only way that we'll be spared from the judgment of God. From where we're going at this time, where we're looking at being taken over by the Islam, just like what has happened in other parts, Europe totally messed up those countries, in Great Britain, and America now is targeted, as I see it, to probably become the Islamic capital of the world. The pressure is on. The powers of darkness has already moved in. We are waking up quite late. America, we have been toying with evil, and it's ready to destroy us.
Lily, you're right on target. You're on target with what you're saying, and you're absolutely right too. It goes back to that verse that President Trump will be reading out of the others added to it. If my people, and of course in the context of that, God was talking to, and it was the dedicatory prayer of the temple, Solomon's temple, and it was Solomon's dedicatory prayer for the temple after the temple was built, dedicating the temple to God. If my people, speaking of the Jewish people, we can relate that in application today. If my people, which are called by my name, Christians, I believe the turnaround in America, I believe the condition of America can only be turned around from the people of God. The reason we're talking about today, allow the Christian voices to be heard in America. Our voices have been quieted, our voices have been squelched, our voices have been muffled, our voices, the Christian people in America, the Christian organizations and the churches have been muffled through the Obama and Biden administration, and we're finding great relief as a result of God's divine intervention with Donald J. Trump as president. It is getting all riled up. Those that are the socialist, Marxist, communist, Islamic jihadist, and the pro-Palestinians, etc., etc. And they're against America, wanting to see the demise of America. So it demands, as you're saying, Lily, that the Christians stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. Stop being afraid. Get out from under the bed. Stay out of the closet. Turn the lights on, and that we be the light and the salt as God has called us to be. Lily, thank you so much for your call today, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject, an issue. Allow the Christian voices to be heard in America. And I'm saying that because right at this very moment, there's a demonic battle going on, raging across America through the minds, the hearts, and the lives of the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party and those on the left that somehow, some way, believe that Christianity ought to be squelched and we ought to be, our voices muffled and ought not to be heard. That's one of the reasons, ladies and gentlemen, that in 2020 the election was stolen, is because the voice of Christians, listen carefully, in 2020, it's my understanding based on the Barner Report with George Barner's reporting that some 32 million Christians did not vote in the 2020 election. Some 40 million Christians did not vote in 2016. Some 32 million did not vote in 2020. I don't know that number in 2024, but I'm telling you now, ladies and gentlemen, if we want to do anything to seek God's help, ask God to deliver us from the wiles of the devil, we need to pray, we need to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, and as Christians, we need to vet the candidates. Asking the candidates, where do you stand on the so-called Palestinians? Where do you stand on Israel? Where do you stand on the Socialist, Marxist, Communist Party coming in to America? Where do you stand as a candidate? What will you do to prevent the Islamic jihadists from having Sharia law in America? What will you do if we elect you locally, statewide, nationwide, and from a national level? What will you do as a candidate if we cast our ballot for you? Christians, I believe, have been derelict in our responsibility of vetting the candidates. We're putting loose likes lost liberals into office under the banner of calling them good because they're Republican or calling them good because they make a claim. Look at the background. Look at what they've done. Look at where they stand. And ladies and gentlemen, be very, very careful on who we cast our vote for. I'm looking at a headline. FBI Director Kash Patel claims agency has evidence that the 2020 election was in fact stolen from President Trump. And the article says, stay tuned for the next few weeks. This article in part reads, Director Kash Patel has insisted that he has all the evidence to finally prove President Trump's longstanding claim that the 2020 election was rigged against him, and hinted that he could make it available this week. Patel's claim comes as Michigan officials push back on DOJ's attempt to seize Detroit area ballots from the 2024 election, with the state attorney general, Dana Neisel, accusing the administration of seeking to sow fresh doubts about the electoral integrity ahead of this year's midterms. In fact, all of the loose lax lost liberals, the socialist Marxist media, they're all claiming that this is just a ruffle scuffle to somehow, some way, taint the 2024 midterm election. Ladies and gentlemen, what do you rather have? A president that's willing to take a stand on moral and ethical values, a president that has instituted a Christian Liberties Commission so that there can be a modicum of protection for Christian liberties, or a president as Joe Biden, and Joe Biden's stand on transgenderism, butchering boys and girls, a stand for abortion, a stand for the LGBTQ sodomite agenda for kindergarten through college. Biden stood with our enemies against America's open borders. He allowed 20 to 25 million people to come in, most of which were the Islamic jihadists that's ruling and trying to reign with Sharia law today. The Biden administration stood against Christian conservatives with biblical values. We're discovering the truth, ladies and gentlemen, finally, of what really took place in the 2020 election. I've got article after article after article. One of them says, thousands of fake, phony mail-in ballots counted all for Biden. Listen, I believe there's the number 300-some-odd thousand total for the state of Georgia, where they came in, they were in boxes, they had not been folded, they had not been mailed, they're supposed to have been mail-in ballots. We find, Chash Patel has found, that double counting of the ballots, those counting the ballots would insert incorrect numbers on their batch of ballots as to what it was, and all of them were for Joe Biden. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, Christians must vet the candidates. We must make sure with all diligence possible that this will not happen in 2026 election. Another headline, ladies and gentlemen. Why do millions of Americans believe that the 2020 election was stolen from Donald Trump? Another headline that will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, why it's so important for us to stand for truth and that our voices be heard. Here's a headline that's shocking. I won't get into the details. Just give it. No! Public high school remodel features Muslim prayer room and foot washing station. A Minnesota school district has confirmed that part of the remodeling section of the high school will include Muslim prayer room and foot washing stations, calling into question the adherence to separation of church and state. According to the report, the school district affirmed the development for Park Center Senior High in Minnesota, a suburb of Minneapolis, saying the Muslim-centered facility was included to update plans of hearing and groups using as the needs are in their area. Ladies and gentlemen, we can't do that. We must not do that. We must take a stand. Pray for Trump as he reads the scripture. Pray for the nation as scripture is being read this week. And we need to keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 90.